Tuesday, December 6, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45 p.m., Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
The number was 187, 1817.
You know what?
Some shit thing.
Sometimes get some.
Yeah, we're on the recorder, so let's, that's okay. Let's call the meeting for the Board of Equalization. We'll stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, current copy of the open meeting that's posted on the west wall of the entrance in the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill, here. Larry Albanese.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Okay, we got the consent agenda items. Number one, the approval of the previous minutes on August 22nd of 2022.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting.
Okay, we got a motion by Janet.
I'll second.
Second by Bob. Will you call roll, please, on that consent agenda items, please, Bob?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, new business at 2:45 here. We got a hearing for the Heartland Counseling applications for exemption for motor vehicle taxes. It's a nonprofit organization. They got a 2005 Ford Taurus SE. It shows the VIN last is 141766. And number two, they have a 15 Chevy Impala with a VIN number ending in 114-1602. Both vehicles are used to provide community support services, crisis response, peer support, and day service support services by clients who have mental health and substance abuse issues. Basically, the application comes with the recommendation of Don Moskay, the treasurer. I think it's just a formality, correct?
Yes.
Obviously, I mean, we do these quite often. Anyways, any questions or concerns or comments?
I'll move to approve.
Okay.
The exemption.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob and a second by Troy. Will you call roll, please? Joan?
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, mail emergency business?
None.
Zero. We got anybody from the public that has anything to say? If not, we are adjourned from the Board of Equalization.
248.
Right. 248.
That's pretty good, Scott.
Go where she loves. If she likes it, that's a good thing.
Okay, I have 3 o'clock, so we will call the Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting to order. We've done the Pledge of Allegiance already. So, Joan, if you want to say it again, you can. But would you call the roll, please?
Robert Giese.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanese.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
All right. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Board of Commissioners reserves the right to adjust the items on the agenda if necessary. And number one is public comment. Anyone want to speak on any item that is not on the agenda?
Looks pretty heavy here.
All right. Seeing none, we will move on to item two, which is the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of previous meeting minutes and approval of payroll claims August 7th through the 20th. Troy and I, mostly Troy, went through the payroll claims earlier and would entertain a motion to.
So moved.
Second.
All right, moved by Scott, seconded by Janet. on the consent agenda. Call the roll, please. Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. I don't see anybody from Unity in Action for item 3 under new business, so if they come, I guess we can...
Well, they specifically asked it for 2 weeks, so... But,
okay.
Okay. But they were here last time.
Right, right. So, item 4, then, old business and miscellaneous. Jolene Goebbels is here with her road report. Jolene?
Hello.
Hi.
312 hours grading roads, 53 hours on tree and debris removal, 4 hours finishing up the weeds around all the bridges, 10 hours on a culvert on South Bluff, 6 hours picking up garbage, 52 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 43.82 tons of three-quarter clean. We hauled 650.58 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete. Spent 25 hours on signing and barricading. We had road concerns on for grading on T Avenue and requests for gravel on Hall Avenue. Any questions?
Thank you, Jolene.
Jolene, do you want to talk about this rock issue now? Do you want to get out of here? Do you want to do this first or do it now? And,
Yeah, we've just been getting some complaints about the crushed concrete. We got a mail carrier who drives the roads every day. She says she's going through tires about every 6 months and not very pleased about it. We have looked in the prices to hauling from some Pilger and Stolf gravel.
She sent me
it's pretty
picture.
Comparable to the price of the crushed concrete, but like every place, every spot has a place for a certain product. So, you know, with the three-quarter clean from LG Everest, you know, there's places for that. But she just has called several times about the concrete.
I have Teresa is her name, sent me a picture of the crushed concrete. And that's a cigarette lighter that she has by that rock there. Larry will pass that around. She was just concerned, you know, what Jolene was kind of talking about was the tire issue, and said she had nine chips in her windshield, and so she just wanted to know why we use crushed concrete. So I talked to Brent earlier today and got some pricing from him. Oh, and I visited with Jolene the other day as well. This gal, as Jolene said, she's a mail carrier and is on those roads every day. And I mean, there are going to be some issues. So I told her I'd get back in touch with her and let her know what I found out. So just for the rest of the board, this might be...
How many miles, roughly? Does anybody know where we put all that kind of that crushed at?
How many miles have we put on?
I mean, not necessarily miles, but is there a lot of roads that have it on there?
Yeah. Ever since 2019 is when we started using it. Pretty well, for about a year there, that was about all we could get.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, yeah. I just remember that. Well, the thing is, I don't know how many miles this mail carrier drives a day.
I'm not even sure what post office runs out of.
It doesn't matter.
She's an Emerson carrier.
Long story short, I just remember 6 months, my wife did a route in the country, in South Dakota, and 6 months is about an average for a set of tires. And but she was running 110 miles a day, too, on gravel roads. I mean, she does, but mail carriers are, they try to buy the cheapest tires. I've seen it, because they're going to run through them. I don't know.
When you leave, you just go look at my truck. I've got 64,000 miles on that set of tires. And I drive two-thirds of that's on county roads. And I drive every road in the county that's got crushed concrete,
got everything on there.
Sand and gravel on them that you get out of West Point. And I've got four major rock chips in my windshield, five actually. And I got two of them right up there where you come out, the trucks come out of the landfill on the highway there. I got more than that, probably three there. And then trucks will do it to you no matter where you are. Others were down here closer to South Sioux. Now, I'm certain it could have been anything. But just take a look at the tires on my truck back behind you.
Yeah.
And there ain't nothing special about the tires, you know, there's, you know.
Yeah, I know. She says she goes through 10 ply tires every 6 months, and she just... She's called three times now, and I sicked her on Bob last week.
and that's fine. Well, I know more about roads today than I did yesterday or Friday. But so Brent and Jolene both said that, you know, there are certain situations where the crushed concrete we need to use for a road that we're rebuilding or something like that. So there are different areas where they're needed. I mean, I'm not gonna if we said tomorrow that we're only gonna use gravel, you know, that's not gonna stop, windshield.
What was her point of putting a lighter on that? Was she?
I think just the size of some of that. I don't know.
Well, that's 1.5 inch.
Oh, okay.
3/4 clean, of course, is 3/4 rock, and then the gravel's the smaller pebbles and
right.
Stuff like that. So,
so there is definitely a need for everything, all of the things that we use. So are we majority the crushed concrete now?
No way.
We are the majority.
Is that possible? The majority of all the roads are crushed concrete?
That's all what we're hauling right now.
Yeah.
Not
the majority of the roads, though.
Well, I would
probably about a year's been.
There's a lot of our roads have crushed concrete.
The price differential was on that, too?
I have crushed concrete and gravel about the same.
We paid anywhere. Yeah. You know, we paid anywhere with crushed concrete from $16 a ton to $22 a ton. And that, again, there's different. We've got it from some people. It's been very good. Some people, it just seems like it just blows away. You know, every place kind of has a variety of product when it comes to that, too. You know.
Quality.
Mm-hmm.
Where you live there, if you go down there to the city limits, south on M,
mm-hmm.
from the city limits to the bridge, that's crushed concrete, 100%. That hasn't been touched now in 2.5-3 years. And you go over on Bluff, south, North Bluff, that was put on there 3 years ago, last spring. And there's been no gravel put on there, and you can find very little large pieces of concrete. Very few. And you wouldn't know it was ever concrete. And it's the best, those two pieces are the two best roads in the county. Little to no maintenance. They would never have to grade that road south of U1M Avenue. But it was put on when the road was nothing but mud. You couldn't hardly get through it. And you go across the bridge and go up the hill. There was a pretty thick coat of crushed concrete put on that originally because people couldn't get up and down that road. One lady in particular, called Joan. And it stood up real well. It gets washboard, but that's because it was some of that 3/4 put on top.
Packed some of that clay stuff in there,
some of that clay first, and then that fell apart in time. It just get chopped up. But the crushed concrete's still under it. So I'd never not use crushed concrete. If it was my road, I'd have crushed concrete, period. It's as simple as that.
You know,
crossed white, I think you're paying $18 now, right now.
Right now, yeah.
See, and I think to get that delivered in is probably into the yard is. What did it say there? Delivered into the Hubbard yard.
15.
The concrete.
Yeah.
It says gravel. Gravel. Brent told me gravel is 14 to 15, but that's not, you know. And then when you consider how much it costs to go pick it up.
If we went to go get it, it'd be like 26, 20. Or no, that's the gravel.
Gravel.
Talking about in Pilger and. in West Point, it's like $14, $15 a ton. Mm-hmm. If they delivered it, it was like $26 to $27 a ton to deliver it to our yard.
So how many, whether it's crushed gravel or crushed concrete or gravel, how many loads of rock are we putting down a week? Because if it's $7 a ton and a semi is...
25 to 28 tons.
So a couple hundred dollars, you figure it's only a couple hundred dollars a load difference in price.
It depends on what the weather is doing, how much we haul, you know. I mean, I could throw these numbers together from the reports all year and tell you what we've hauled year to date.
Right.
But, you know, a couple years ago when we were having all that rain, we were pretty much through our budget on gravel in September, so...
$200 a load, and Fred said, takes 8 loads of gravel road.
A mile.
8 loads a mile.
I would say, though, as far as, like, tires and stuff like that, I fix a lot of tires and sell tires, but out to Thurston County, I don't believe uses much crushed concrete, and I fix a ton of tires there, too. There used to be a mill carrier that worked around the Winnebago area. We were always putting tires on his car and fixing flats, and I think it just kind of goes with the territory when you're on the back roads.
A couple years ago, I actually had a piece of red rock stuck in my tire and I had a flat.
I have two. Brand new tire.
Brakes. They go through brakes. They go through
but in all fairness, when we started hauling the red rock, we got complaints on that. You know, then we started hauling the crushed concrete, and the same people that complained about the red rock wanted the red rock back. So you got 5 different people, you got 5 different opinions.
Yeah.
So
right, we're good though.
And we could, you know, on a bad year, we've used almost 40,000 tons back 6, 7, 8 years ago. So if you use 30,000 tons in the average year, say, that's $240,000. That's half the cost of a motor grader.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's $240,000.
Yeah. And a motor grader is $400,000, so trying to get you interested and so forth.
I can, one of the things I got to do in case we ever have a disaster is FEMA wants to go back and see how many tons you put down, say, in the last 4 years, so they can make sure we're not going and putting a whole bunch down and saying this is our normal amount we put down, when they can go back and say, well, no, this is what you normally, you know, so they have a comparison so they don't think they're getting ripped off. But anyway, so I can go back and do like the last 5 years and
you can if you want and send that information along, but I don't think that's really the numbers. I mean, that's not her comment or question. That's not gonna.
I'm not gonna make her happy.
No, and that's fine. Yeah. But it sounds like what I hear is you know, we use 3 different
products.
Thank you for roads, and you're gonna have you can get a chip, you know, driving down the highway. You know,
that's where I usually get mine.
You know, so
following a track.
And the tires. So anyway, I will call her. Thank you for the information.
Jolene, have a good day.
But you gotta take a look at my truck while I'm back.
Hey, Jolene.
I got about 2 months left, and then I'll get.
It's that red one. In case you didn't know which one was Larry's.
No, it's the white one that Larry's driving. The white one.
Okay.
The white one.
The email I sent you about that Bose Box culvert and bridges, are they going to write a grant for the state or something? It sounded like a grant for the state of Nebraska, and we could be included in it to get some of those.
There's only 4 or 5 bridges. One was the Wachter Bridge. One was the I. Adams Bridge, which we've been trying to.
Okay.
One is no longer in existence, so I don't know why that's on the list. And then the other one we just replaced, like... Mm-hmm. Isn't opened yet, but it's the one south of Homer that they've been doing work on.
So that big spreadsheet was compiled
to
with that information. Mm-hmm. So everything's on there to be on the bill for them. Okay.
One more question. We hired Lux Brothers to do some trucking at 2700. What was that? What would we hire a truck for to do trucking for us?
When was that?
Well, I don't know.
We got some. We got culvert from them.
Well, this says Lake Rose Trucking, outdoor labor, $2,703.
It must have got coded wrong.
It must have been something coded wrong.
The only thing I can think of we got from Lux's was a culvert, maybe. They didn't do, they let us use their water truck. They never ever charged us for that. We just had to fill it up with gas or diesel when we brought it back. Off the top of my head, I can go back and look, but I don't remember.
I just couldn't figure it out. Our trucks have been sitting.
Yeah.
I've hardly been hauling anything, and I didn't know why we wouldn't use our little boy to haul something.
It must be something that was coded wrong or printed wrong, because we haven't hired them to do anything. So.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you.
Item B is board to review, which I did earlier, and certify each officer's notarized inventory statement for all county personal property in the possession of that officer as valid and file them in county clerk's office. So we just...
So you've done that?
I did that.
There's no action required on that? Just information?
No action.
Okay.
No action. They're reviewed. Okay. Item C is approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. We got the three bids last time on the windows for the courthouse. 74, Troy?
Yes.
74 windows.
74.
Troy and I were in charge of going to look at the windows, which we did.
Thursday.
Troy, you want to take it away?
So we looked at the windows, and it's pretty much apples to apples as far as the window we're getting, the options. I guess the only question is, the only difference in price that's really, really big is whether or not you want white windows or if you want to get some
sandstone or something.
Yeah.
Brown.
Yep. Like we have now, I believe they're outside. They're like a bronze, maybe you might call it, or whatever.
And the difference in both, or two of the bids was $17,000 for color on the outside. They're all white inside, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So like these. I mean, it would be, as I think you say, white on the inside. Is that,
well,
the
mullion on your bid, it does have the sandstone on the inside, and it has the outside colors, classic bronze, on the mullion one for the colored windows.
You had one mullion for $53,980 and one mullion for $68,980.
That's a couple. The higher ones are colored. They're bronze on the outside,
okay.
And then they're sand,
so
beige or sandstone on the inside.
Okay. Is that the way Kevin asked him to quote it, was with color? Or?
I think maybe both ways, possibly.
Yeah, they included both ways in there, but...
$15,000 difference.
$17,000.
If you had the bronze added to Window World.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
But mullion awning and siding without the color was $53,980.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And Window World was $53 for the white.
So.
Well, white would look kind of weird on the outside on a building.
I do too.
Keith, how was yours bid? Was yours unbolted? That's Keith Claypool there from Claypool Brothers.
What do you want to know?
Did you bid yours on?
With color?
The bronze, the black, white, it's all the same price. But, so, are you looking at the price of the vinyls or the aluminum windows? Double hung, single hung, it all makes a huge difference.
The ones we priced were double and vinyl.
Double and vinyl?
Yes.
Yeah, so
that was the mullion and the Window World price. That was vinyl and double hung windows.
Yeah, so the guy that took me around here didn't want vinyl, he wanted aluminum. That's what he told me to quote.
So maybe we need to make bid specs to bid off of?
I put on one of them bids, so the It should have been in that. I don't know if you guys got it. But the vinyl would have been like 30,000 off my total bid. And if you go to single hung, double hung costs twice as much. So if you look at my bid, the window was $400. If you got a single hung, it's $200. I don't know what my prices are. But double hungs are only if you think people in the office there are going to actually take them down and clean both sides. Otherwise, you don't need double hungs unless you think people are going to actually clean the windows.
So the ones we have now, are those double or single? I forget how that works. These are single, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they price, single.
I don't know if it's single.
Double sideways then, right?
No, it's not double.
What does it say?
Yeah, these are single.
It says...
Yeah, but whoever put these in, you should never
So Troy, then the...
That's, you got water...
So we price single.
The window, but Window World is $73.90 with the color and Mullen
was $68,980.
$80,930.
60.
If you're adding 53 and 17.
What's that, Joan?
Yeah, 70.
Mullen.
70. It should be 80. Right?
No.
8930. Where did the 7390? Where did that come?
53 plus 17.9. Isn't that right?
If it's 53 plus 17.9, it's 8930.
Also, on my price, it's for the
and that's 71.
Inside too. Because these windows that come out in the courthouse, they're all one.
Was that on their bid?
Well.
So if they didn't put that there in their bid, they're going to add it on later.
Yeah,
probably me adding them.
They had the bids from Mullen and Window World. They did have in there to trim the window outside and inside.
So
the windows we have in the courthouse now are aluminum, aren't they, Keith? Or metal?
No, they're wood.
They're wood?
Yeah. They're a one-piece window. They're like 8 inches wide inside, and they just slide in, and then the trim hooks to it. That's why you got the whole thing's got to pull out. The new windows that you'll get from me, Mullen, or whoever are only going to be like 2 3/8. You put a standard on there, it goes 3.5, so you have to fill that void up. That's why I came today. If you guys had any questions, or I can show you some kind of exactly
what's
going to happen.
Well, if we got to put new windows in here, would they wind up being smaller than what's there?
$69,890.
Like that. Yep. The windows in the corner.
That's the bid for the colored windows.
That would be part of the old window. It all comes out.
That's the new. That was the one.
It's all the
latest.
One.
Okay.
That's
all
the
right.
Latest.
All right. Well, the so what we have is actually the Mullen is 68,980 for. The colored windows and Window World is
930.
So Mullen is the lowest one. So I would make a motion that we go with the Mullen window bid.
For the white or the colored windows?
For the color. For the color. Okay.
And it's already priced in there, the color.
Right. Right.
Here.
This is the vinyl window?
That's that big, yes, vinyl.
Those are all vinyl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vinyl, well, you get vinyl or brown or blue.
Oh, yeah, that one right there.
Okay, I'll second that, Bob.
Okay. Any other questions, board? If not, call the roll, please, Joan.
Okay, so Mullen with color.
With color.
For
68,980.
Right.
Plus tax.
No tax.
No tax.
Extra tax.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Is anybody here from Unity in Action I don't know who you are in particular. I thought maybe you were late. Anyway, so they're not here.
I live on M Avenue, so that's why I'm here.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Item 5 is Commissioner Committee Reports. Scott, anything? No? Janet?
Yeah, just a quick update on the Nebraska broadband postcard went out, and we've got over 25 people that have tested, you know, gone out and test, and we have 12 to 15 cards for sure that have come back, and it's been out for a week or so. So I'll put something, I'm going to put something in the paper, in like the Hubbard News, the Homer News, and the Jackson News, to if you got the card, take the test or send it back so we can get.
You better clear that with the editor first.
Pardon me?
You better clear that with the editor first.
Oh. Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking about doing. Okay, so that's hopefully we'll get those test numbers that we need. We know there's a lot of areas in rural Dakota County that don't have good internet. I don't know if the rest of you have been getting a lot of stuff on pipelines, a lot of information on pipelines, very interesting information to, I would guess, the planning and zoning will be bringing something back to us on the pipeline planning and zoning recommendations. I went to a SIMCO meeting, Larry, last week for you, and then it looks like there's a lot of bike paths and things like that that they're funding through SIMCO. I don't know if we have any interest in bike paths in Dakota County, but I mean, I think the South Sioux has done some of those, but there's other places we'd like to do those.
That's
maybe around the lake or something. I don't know, but a lot of bike paths.
Hubbard to the lake?
I mean, in general, there's a lot of things that they fund through SIMCO for bike paths. Like, there's one right now going from Lamar's to Sioux City. You know, just kind of getting from rural areas into metro areas, which is kind of that complex.
I remember when Brent was here at the Dakota City, he was trying to get one, when he was the administrator, he was trying to get a bike path going from here to Homer and then through Fiddler Creek, up M Avenue to the lake and et cetera. It's not a trail, but I mean, if they're willing to, you know, help out and see if there's any monies available there.
I think there's a lot of interest in that sort of thing. I really do. People are, you know.
How many miles South Sioux have? I just heard the other day.
Like 17 or something.
17,
like
18.
Yeah, and it's usually an 80-20 match, or at least
yeah,
that's what I remember,
a
federal match.
It was pretty intriguing to me that all the, like, from Lamar's to Sioux City, that surprised me. That's a long haul.
Yeah.
They were working on that one. And then we had a budget meeting right before this meeting. Well, maybe I'll have Bob report on that. So.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Larry?
No.
Troy?
Nothing.
Okay. Yeah, we did have a budget meeting earlier. And we will discuss our overall county budget later at 5:30. So.
Gals here that came from M Avenue.
I don't really have an M Avenue update per se. Still working. I talked to Brett Langley from our engineer. I've spoken with Jason at Hubbard. I'm going to go talk to the board tomorrow night in Hubbard, a little bit about the project, where we're at. The best case as it sits today scenario is we're looking at the cheapest estimate. I shouldn't say cheapest, because there was another one I didn't look at, but the 35 mile an hour was $1.7 million. 4 years ago, I don't know how close we were to, we did get an engineer's estimate at that time, and that was $800,000. So things have changed quite a bit.
Well, we've still got to move the road, right, to 35. Yeah.
I'm not sure the previous estimate included the new state standards, and that's why.
It did not.
So I don't know, you know, I really, I want to see the I'm not willing to give up on the project yet. So until it's over, it's not over. You know, continue to look for ways to do that. Anyway, I wanted to meet with the folks from Hubbard, their board, to just kind of let them know where we're at cost-wise. And
is that Wednesday night or Thursday night?
Wednesday. Wednesday. Wednesday at 7. Anyway, it continues to just exploring, options. I don't know. I need to find out. There's, the rural water is coming in out there. What that does to the area, I don't know where that comes in at. Maybe the board, the Hubbard board, will have some more information on that. I don't know. But that's certainly a plus for that area. So. At this point, but go ahead, Janet.
I drove out there. We were out there fishing the other day, and I noticed that there's power lines along that one side. I mean, when he was looking at moving the road, was he just going to do it on the other side of those power lines? Is that kind of?
He said it had to be moved.
He did say they have to be. I thought maybe they could just pop it on the other. No.
Well, his thing would just been where the poles wind up. I suppose you might wind up with a pole right in the middle of the road.
Where they cut across.
Because it starts way down by the bridge, take it off and around, and then goes back in down below. I don't know.
There was utility lines. I thought that's...
You were talking about moving a 50-foot, but 50-foot would... I don't know if that guy get it to the other side of the poles for sure or not. Be awful close as it was.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
It would help me. That'd be expensive to get that line moved.
But yeah, you make a good point about the utilities, and whether it's water, whether it's electricity. Mm-hmm. Was he going to go to the state, or were we still?
That's us.
That's us. Okay, that's us.
The way I understand it, that's us.
Our okay.
To be continued.
To be continued. Yeah. The good thing is we have some time, but. As you guys know, we said that 6 months ago.
Everybody should know that in this room that nothing moves quickly.
Right.
So.
May I ask who's going to contact the state then?
That'll be us.
As in
probably me.
Okay.
When we get to that point. And we'll let you know. You're certainly welcome to... come along if they'll let us. I mean, I don't know how that would play out, but you know, if the special designation road is our best plan forward, I don't know if that's the answer either. I mean, if we had all the money in the world, it would be like, well, let's just go do it, you know. But. So anyway, I will keep you posted, Trudy. I know you're and your dad, have been involved.
This is Adrian Livingston. She lives on M Avenue. I live at the cemetery house.
Okay. Well, I don't have any news for you.
I know I'm going to be a big factor into how that whole estimate and the road and everything figures out, just because of my hill and my driveway and everything else. Show my face and support.
Well, thanks for coming.
Really appreciate it if we could get that done someday.
Thanks for coming, yeah.
Thank you for addressing it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, what did I do with my agenda? I think that's it, right? That was the last thing.
5:30.
Oh, yeah.
I have a little bit of mail.
Okay, go ahead, Joan.
Simco has a Rural Economic Development Committee meeting with us quarterly, and at their next meeting, they have a speaker, Michael Sands from Baird Home, that's going to talk on tax increment financing. So if anybody wants to attend that, Tuesday, November.
Smart, aren't I? As you come up with that tax increment financing.
November 22nd at 9 a.m.
That'd be the perfect thing over to Hubbard there.
Is that still, we can't have more, a quorum.
We can't really have that.
Okay.
Right.
And then I got another letter from I can't say his name, but he would like us to address the ever-widening political divide in our country. For the Democratic Party has fully embraced the socioeconomic fantasy of Mr. Marx, and he would like us to secede with the state. Anyway, he wanted to make sure that the commissioners all got a copy of this letter, so I just got it in today's mail, so I will copy that and put it in your, send it to you by email or give Larry a copy, so.
Okay.
That's it for mail.
All right. So I guess we're not adjourned then. We will just recess until...
We are adjourned. It's not a meeting. It's not a board meeting.
The 5:31.
No.
Okay. So we are adjourned. But there's another meeting at 5:30. It is 3:37. That's about budget.